left off last week, we've been talking about a whole series of different mitzvahs that may not require lishma. And even though they require lishma, there are different stages along the way when lishma may be necessary. So we started off with sukkah, and then we quickly got into tzitzis, and now we got ourselves into tefillin, and we're getting into sefer Torah, so we're crossing party lines in terms of all the mitzvahs. So let's just recap for a moment to see where we're up to, how this is all going to impact on us l'maisa. So really in our sugya, it started out as a discussion concerning tzitzis. It was really machlokes Rav and Shmuel. That was the only thing that was absolutely clear of the sugya. And there was machlokes Rav and Shmuel, whether tviya sachutin, the spinning of the strings, the preparation of the strings for the tzitzis, I didn't say anything about connecting the strings to the baggage yet, that's a whole other part of the story, but just the mere tviya sachutin, the spinning of the wool, is that necessary to be done the Shema? Nah. What did it boil down to? Basically psukim. And according to one opinion, we dash in from a pasuk that's included in the Shema. It's not included in the Shema. That was one issue that appears in Sukkah Daf Tes. Then the Gemara took that issue and began to compare that issue to other cases of the Shema as well. The Gemara compared this to the question of Ibra or for tefillin, the person who's making the batim for tefillin. So obviously there's some kind of a processing of the animal skins that has to take place. You can't just shech the animal, take off the skin, and have a hocus pocus, have a pair of tefillin. You have to prepare the batim. So that Ibra or for the batim, must that be made the Shema as well? So the Gemara quoted a machlekes atanai about that, and the Gemara related, oh, those two issues are probably the same. That's the Gemara Menachos Ben Beis. Now the two issues are really one and the same, Ibra or in terms of Tviyas Achutim. So now that we know that there are two different issues that really one and the same, how should we approach this in Psach Halacha? So if we just go with the regular rules of Psach Halacha, we know Ravu Shmuel, Acha Ravi Isuri. Anything that involves a mitzvah or isurim, not mamonis, not monetary law, but mitzvahs and isurim. So pretty much the standard psak is halacha ke rav the isuri. If that's true, if you just connect all the dots that we said, which is probably what Rashi sheet and factually is, if we pass it like rav isuri, rav was the one who said that there's no need for tviya lishma. If there's no need for tefillah lishma, then by extension, there's no need for the ibur ha'or of tefillah to be lishma. Basically, there's none of all of them with lishma fall by the wayside. Sukkah, that we already for sure got rid of lishma. That was ready for Shabbos. So that's what we started off with 2 weeks ago. But even these extended cases of tzitzis, and then by extension tefillin, once you're willing to commit yourself to pasuk like Rav, which is, again, it's the simple psak, that would be the baseline psak, halacha Rav Yisuri. If there's no lishma but tviya, then by extension there's no lishma but yibud as well. So the Rishonim will quote this in the name of Rashi. We don't have it explicitly in Rashi, but the way Rashi sizes up all the sugyas, that's what probably comes out. So this approach, this position, was taken on by Rabbeinu Tam, not to support this position, but actually to attack this position. Rabbeinu Tam said, what we just suggested is absolutely impossible, because it flies in the face of a whole other sugya in Shas. That's what we have to pick up from where we left off. That's a sugi that appears in Maramokam number 8, to the very bottom of the first page, Maramokam number 8. Like, Maramokam is Gittin. Those were, I don't know if anyone's in the Shabbos afternoon shiurim that we've been giving the last couple of weeks in the shul, but we're just speaking about this Gemara, a little bit of a different part of the sugya. But the Gemara on the 8th of the Maramokamos, page number 1, the Gemara in Gittin after Ndalan on the base. Hahudi also the Kamei de Rabbi Abohu. Somebody came in front of Rabbi Abohu, and Amalei said to him, Sefer Torah shekasafti leploni. I was hired, I was commissioned to write a Sefer Torah for such a person. Now the sofer says, oy, 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 gvilin shlo loy baratim lishma. He said, I didn't prepare the skins lishma. So here, he just finished writing Sefer Torah, just presented, just had a bechra. We don't even want to talk. Those people who give in Sefer Torah, it's like the nightmare of par excellence. The sofer comes to you after the job's done and says, oh, by the way, I forgot one small thing. I forgot to do the ibra, the or, the shema. I forgot to process the skins, the shem kedusha Sefer Torah. So there are two issues here. There's an issue of, is the Sefer Torah kosher? And there's a second issue, is the sofer believed to say such a statement? So Amalei, Rabbi Abo said to him, Sefer Torah b'yad mi. Who has the Sefer Torah right now? And again, the reason why that's important, that's more of a dini mamonis issue. Whether the sofer would be believed, depending on where the Sefer Torah is. Again, that's not really asking you right now. So Amalei b'yad l'kech. So it happened to be that the Sefer Torah had already been presented to the purchaser. So Amalei, he said to me, Tok shetan nemen l'havsit z'charcha, atan nemen l'havsit Sefer Torah. So Rabbi Abo told him that you are for sure believed to lose your salary. You haven't been paid yet. So there's no question that you're believed. Because in terms of dini mamonis, we in effect have what's called the Hodas Baldin Kmeidim Dan. We have a rule in the Imamimus that if a person comes and makes a statement that's incriminating against him, it's going to cost him in Beis Din. So if I walk at the Beis Din and I say, I broke your window. Even though there are no edim to that effect. And now, a week later, I say, oh, no, I was just kidding. I didn't really, that's tough. Once I get up and I make that formal statement in Beis Din, so Adam is nemen alatzba, unbelieved, even though it's going to cost me money, right? If I walk into Beis Din and I say, I borrowed $1,000 from this fellow. The other guy doesn't have a document. He doesn't have edim. Beis Din has no way to know whether I'm telling the truth. They're going to force me to pay that $1,000 because Hodas Baal Din is kemei edim dami. When I admit something in court related to the Mamunas, so that's it, it's over, it's done. That din only applies in Mamunas, it doesn't apply in Nefasha. The person walks into the basin and says, I killed somebody, so we're not going to kill you based on your own testimony. But in terms of being obligated to pay money, that's the din of Dosbal Din Kim Adam Dun. So when this sofer said that I did a bad job, I did a job that really basically means that I should lose my entire salary. If you hire me for $50,000 to write a Sefer Torah and I present you with a postal Sefer Torah, so then obviously you don't have to pay me for the job. Now, we have no way of knowing whether it's postal or not. There are no edim. Nobody knows whether it's postal or not. But he just made Hodas Baal Din, so there's no question he's going to lose his salary. The more important question here is, forget about his. I mean, maybe this is the more important question for him, but the more important question for us is, what's the status of the Sefer Torah? So Rabbi Abel said the Sefer Torah is a problem. The Sefer Torah is possible. This person is believed to say the Sefer Torah is possible, which opens up a whole nother discussion in terms of Edechen and Bisurin. When is an Edechen believed to say something is a problem, not a problem? Again, but that's also not a sugya right now. The part that we're interested in extracting for our purposes is the fact that if those facts are true, if we could really ascertain that the Sefer Torah was not prepared, lishma, that the gvilim, the cloth, wasn't processed for the purposes of Sefer Torah, that Sefer Torah is a problem. That Sefer Torah is possible. Whether or not the guy's going to get paid for his job is a different story. Whether or not we could figure out those facts is our problem. But imtum salama, if we would have absolute proof that this Sefer Torah was not processed properly, was not prepared, the Oros were not prepared, lishma, then there's no question the Sefer Torah is possible. So comes Rebbeinu Tam and says, well, here we have a Stam Gemara telling a story. We call it Halacha Maisa Rav. A story happened. The Gemara never questions the story. Comes Rebbeinu Tam on the top of the next page, top of page 2, Mar Mokham number 9. So comes Rebbeinu Tam and says, Mar Mokham number 9, Omer Rebbeinu Tam, the top line, Achi Avim Nishpan, Omer Rebbeinu Tam. The Hilchasak Rav Shimon Gamliel says Rebbeinu Tam, the final halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, who says that he was talking about Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbanon we mentioned on Friday. They were talking about, does the or of the bottom of tefillin have to be made lishma? So Rebbeinu Tam says, well, we definitely paskel like Rav Shimon Gamliel that the answer is yes, that the leather, the skin that's being used to make the bottom must be made lishma. No question about it. Now Rebbeinu Tam says, a little bit on the defensive, the Afogav, the Hukhazak Rav Isuri, even though we follow Rav Isuri, what does that mean? Rav wasn't talking about Batim. Rav was talking about Tfiyas Achutim. He was talking about spinning the wool for the Tzitzis. But remember, the Gemara connected the two. So even though Rav held that the spinning of the wool doesn't have to be Lishma, which by extension means that the making of the bottom doesn't have to be lishma. So now Rebbeinu Tam is getting on the defense and saying, wait a second, I just told you that we follow the view, the machmirim, that all these things have to be made lishma, because after all, there's a Gemara in Gittin that insists that the ibud for the Sefer Torah has to be made lishma. So Rebbeinu Tam says, well, wait a second. He said, on the one hand, we should follow Rav, that all these things don't have to be lishma. On the other hand, we should follow that story. So Rebbeinu Tam says, well, the story, almost Rebbeinu Tam says, I'm sorry, but the story trumps. That if the story happened, and the Gemara never comments, and never criticizes the story, and never comments that we disagree with the story, the bottom line is, says Rebbeinu Tam, the Afogav the Chazak Rabbi Suri, the Sugyan the Hanizokin, the Gvilin Shlo Lebat, and the Shmam Kavasei Azla. This is a klal of Psach Halacha, namely that the klal of Psach Halacha are not ironclad. We have general rules, Rav Shmo Halacha Rabbi Suri. We have general rules, Machlank is such and such. We follow that. Those are the rules, but there are exceptions to every rule. How do you know when there's an exception to the rule? The greatest exception to a rule is when the Amoraim tell us that. The Amoraim were Machriya, the Amoraim were of the opinion that this is something which is an exception to the rule, so that carries the day. How do you know what the Amoraim said? Sometimes they say it explicitly, and sometimes they say it implicitly. So here, nobody got up and said, Pemalei, this is an exception to the rule, and don't follow Rav, and forget about Rav. But what the Amoraim did do is they told over a story, which happened in the days of Rabbi Abbo, and the later Amoraim, who recounted the story, didn't criticize the story, didn't correct the story, didn't argue with the story, and they incorporated into the what we call sugyan di alma, the sugyan, the pashas, the flow of the Gemara is supporting this story. By supporting the story, which is requiring ibud for the klaf of a sefer Torah l'shma, by definition, you're requiring ibud for the batim l'shma, and by extension, you're requiring for the tzitzis, the tefillah l'shma as well. So that's the flaw of Rabbeinu Tam. So in one fell swoop, now we have Rabbeinu Tam's whole approach to the sugya, that everything needs l'shma, in contrast to what the Rishonim quoted from Rashi, that basically nothing needs l'shma. So you have a small machlokes, Rashi Rabbeinu Tam, grandfather and grandson. All of the above, yes l'shma or no l'shma. Rashi seems to say nothing really needs l'shma. And Rabbeinu Tam says, no, everything needs l'shma.
Rabbi. The in number 8 by Rabbi Abba with the Gvilin, he asks him, where is the Sefer Torah? Why should it matter?
Okay, excellent. So that's more of a Dini Mamonis question than a Isimhatic question, because the Gemara had another possibility of that story a little bit earlier, where the Gemara said that maybe if the Sefer Torah is still in the hands of the Sofer, then the Sofer may have more Nemonis. Because that's almost like a principle in terms of being believing somebody. If you're in control, you're still in charge, it's still sitting in your pocket, you may have more of reliability to report on something. If you presented the Sefer Torah, you had the Chana Sefer Torah, and then 10 years later the Sefer calls and tells you a story, we may have more of a right to assume that we don't have to accept the truth of that story. So that issue where the Sefer Torah is not relevant for the kashrus of the Sefer Torah per se. It's more relevant in terms of Nemonis, if and when we're going to trust the Sofer's word.
You wouldn't possible to say for Torah because of Mekachtos.
No. That's right. Mekachtos is going to be who's going to pay the bill. But in terms of, we're focusing now more on the in sense of the religious aspect, not on the monetary aspect. Bottom line, can we lay for the Sefer Torah of the Shabbos? That's the question that we're focusing on right now. So this whole approach of Rabbeinu Tam is assuming that we're connecting the dots. He connected the dots from Sefer Torah to Tefillin to Tzitzis. It doesn't sound like it's such a far jump. It sounds like pretty much the three shadows are the same. Nevertheless, the Balamor, we take a look at the second of the Marmakomos. So the Balamor questions that equation of Rabbeinu Tam. And if you question that equation of Rabbeinu Tam, then, as we say, Nofla Yisoh, Nofla Binyan, if the whole foundation falls, and the whole building collapses as well. What was the point of contention that the Balamor suggests? We take a look at the 10th of the Marmakomos. Venerally, says the Balamor, that all the sugyas, putting aside that last sugya and getting about the Sefer Torah proper, but all the sugyas, namely the sugya of tefillin and the sugya of tzitzis, shekol machlokas alalu lo nemru el leinyan tashmishe mitzvah v'tashmishe kedusha. All of these issues are related to things which are there to, in a sense, almost like assist you to do the mitzvah. They're not the davar hakadosh be'atzmo. They're not things that are intrinsically kadosh. They're things that are being mishamesh other dvarim. What does that mean? So one was Ori Beg Lemeis. We spoke about this a little bit, the Tachrich Mish. That was a different issue on Friday. Vitzitzis, the issue of making tzitzis ben asisim from the wool that wasn't spun lishma. Uritzuos tefillin. Or the processing of ritzuos. If you take a look at the ritzuos of tefillin are not a dvar kadosh be'atzmav. There's nothing per se kaddish about the ritzua. What makes the ritzua kaddish is that it's serving the tefillin, which are kaddish biatzmo. What makes something kaddish biatzmo? Shem Hashem. The only thing that's kaddish ki kaddish in Hashem l'keichem. So anything that has a Kaddish Baruch Hu's name imprinted on it, that's a dovra kaddish biatzmo. Anything that's there to help, to assist, that's one step removed, that's tashmishe kedusha. Or if there's no Hashem's name there altogether, that's called Tashmishe Mitzvah. So there are really three different categories of Chafatzim of Mitzvah. There are Dvar Makadoshim Mi'atzvah, say for Torah is a Dvar Kadosh Mi'atzvah, as Hashem's name on it. Or the Parshas of Tefillah, the Parshas of Mezuzah, Dvar Makadoshim Mi'atzvah, they have Hashem's name on it. Then you have Tashmishe Kedusha, which are things like Ritzuos, which help along the Dvar Kadosh. Then you have Tashmishe Mitzvah, Tzitzis, Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar. Those have no kedusha to them whatsoever. That's why, in fact, the whole requirement of putting things into Seamus only makes sense when you're dealing with either Dvar Makadosha Bi'atzmam or Tashmisha Kedusha. There's no need to put an old lulav into Seamus, no need to put a pair of tzitzit into Seamus. To be shut them right, you just wrap it up in a plastic bag. It shouldn't be like it's disgraceful for you to take an old pair of tzitzit and put it in with the dirty diapers. That's not nice. So you wrap it up in a bag, and then throw it in with the diaper. As long as it's not mamish getting, you know, in mokom design itself, that would be okay. But when it comes to tefillin, you can't do that. When it comes to ritzulis, you can't do that. Because those are devarim, either drama kedoshim or tashmish kedoshim. So comes the Balamor and says that when do we paskin that none of these things require lishma? That's tashmish mitzvah. That's tashmish kedusha. The ritzulis of tefillin, the tzitzis strings. Aval says the Balamor in the second line, aval b'ksiva atzma shal tefillin v'shal sefer Torah. But the writing itself, the kuliyama be'in and lishma, shehu gufa kedusha, v'leikam and the polik behu. So he said nobody would ever argue on that, that the writing itself for sure requires lishma. Not only does the writing require, v'hu adin l'gvil shavitar, the parchment that the writing is taking place on, is also requires lishma. That's a gufa kedusha. And the klav shel tefillin, and the duchsus, and the parchment they write the mezuzah on, etc. The chol v'hadik k'siv k'siv dami. That's mamish, like that's writing. Anything that's part of the writing process itself, whether it's putting the ink on the klav or preparing the klav in the first place, those for sure require lishma. And therefore, says the Balamor, v'hainu de'amav v'hanach uvdin prechani zokin. That's what the Gemara means in Maseches Gittin. That's what it means that the klaf has to be made lishma. But to extrapolate from the klaf to the tefillin, to the tzitzis, no, says the Balamor, the buck stops here, and basically argues with Rabbeinu Tam's proof. So now we have to take now one step backwards. So again, we started off learning sugyas of tzitzis, and then the Gemara compared tzitzis to the making of tefillin, and we're not sure how to paskin. On the one hand, Rav is pointing in one direction. On the other hand, maybe there are other Gemaras that are impacting the sugya. So we saw Machlekes Rashi and Beit Adam, grandfather and grandson arguing, but where do we go l'halacha? So Rashi took the approach that we basically just stick to our guns, that Hilchos HaKirav, the Isuri, and therefore you don't need the spitting of the wool lishma, and then by extension you don't have to make the tefillin lishma. Basically nothing needs lishma. Rabbi Adam turned around and argued with his grandfather and said, how could that be? If the Gemara says the klaf needs lishma, klaf is after for sure needs lishma. So if klaf needs lishma, so then everything needs lishma. Now the Balamor is coming to defend Rashi. Balamor is saying, no, you cannot extrapolate from the klaf of the Sefer Torah. The klaf of the Sefer Torah is guf ha-kedusha. It's the kedusha itself. It's much, much stricter than ritzuos for tefillin, much stricter than strings for tzitzis, just because the klaf of a Sefer Torah needs lishma, it doesn't translate to mean other things need lishma. So this is the breakthrough of the Balamor, the fundamental distinction between Dvar Bakadoshim Me'atzimam in contrast to everything else. So comes the Ramban, and the 11th of the Mamakamas, as we've said already many times, Balamor came up with this idea at the ripe old age of 17. The Balamor wrote the Sefer at the age of 17, and the Ramban responded to Muhammad the way the story goes as he was 18. So the teenagers are fighting this out. Just like I always tell my boys, I said, they're just like you guys, fighting about the same stuff. I always like to tell that there were two brothers, the Ketzos and his brother, the Truma Sakri. So they have many, many discussions and arguments, and a lot of tumble back and forth. They say, can you just imagine what the Shabbos table looked like? So just like our kids, we're fighting over the ball games, and fighting over this, and fighting over the chemistry regions, and that's what the Balamor, that's what the Ketzos and the Truma Sakri were fighting out. So you can tell your students that's also Andrew, okay? So comes the Muhammad at the ripe old age of 18, and he says, no. He says, the Balamor's distinction, it makes a lot of sense. It's very logical, but it's not correct, says the Ramban, because it's not correct in the case of the Gemara itself. Why is it not correct in the case of the Gemara itself? So there's a long, long, long Ramban. We'll summarize, we'll extract the Nakuda of the Ramban that we want. Basically, the Ramban tells us is that, go back to that Gemara that was talking about tefillin, about the ibud of the oris of tefillin. So the Balamor pulled something over us. He almost pulled the wool over our eyes in this one. When we first learned that sugya about preparation of tefillin, remember when we learned this on Friday, which part of the tefillin were we talking about? We were talking about the batim. Remember, that's how we learned pshat the sugya. The simple pshat of the Gemara was it's talking about the batim. The Balamor, before anyone noticed, switched to ritzuos. Now, what's the difference? Ritzuos, batim, this block, that block, this is right. What's the difference? What's the difference, says the Ramban? It's all the difference in the world, says the Ramban. That distinction that the Balamor said between the Dovra Kodosh Biatzmo and Kajus to Tashmisha Kedusha is 100% correct. But Batim of Tefillin belong in the category of Dovra Kodosh Biatzmo. Batim of tefillin are not tashmisha kedusha. Batim of tefillin are kedoshim ba'atzmam. How do I know that? It's a Meferish Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, Ramban, we references that Gemara. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that how do you know when you make tefillin that you have to make tefillin out of kosher animal? Remember, we learned to spoke about this a little bit on Friday. Where does it say in the Chumash? Where does it say in the Torah itself that tefillin have to be made from kosher animal skin? So the Gemara says, where does it say it? It says in Pashas Bo, so the literal interpretation means you put on tefillin so that you should be able to, that'll help you learn Torah. So the Tosha Bapeh explains that that phrase has a whole deeper meaning as well. That it also refers to this din min haTorah that the tefillin have to be l'man tiyataras Hashem beficha. It has to be in your mouth. Literally, it has to be kosher. It means the materials that are used for Taras Hashem have to be beficha. So the Gemara says, that's the din. That's the din with the Raisa. Anytime you have anything that's Taras Hashem has to be beficha. So the Gemara says, Masechah Shabbos, what's included in this pasuk? What's called Taras Hashem beficha? The Gemara says that the writing of the parshas, the fact that the parshas have to be written on kosher animal skins, of course that's Taras Hashem, because you're taking psukim of Torah, and you're writing the Shema Yisrael, you're writing Parshas Kaddish, you're writing the Amshir, you're writing the Psukim, on something, that something has to be, Torah Hashem Beficha, has to be on a Dovra Mutta Beficha. Then the Gemara says, okay, so forget about the cloth for a second for the Parshas. What about the Batim? Must the Batim be made from kosher animal skins? So the Gemara says, of course they have to be made from kosher animal skins. Why is that? Because in the same Pasuk, Leman Tia Torah Hashem Beficha. Where's the Torah Hashem? Where are the psukim on the you know why psukim on the batim? The psukim are on the cloth or on the parshas. How do you know the batim have to be Torah Hashem beficha? So the Gemara is a startling statement. The Gemara says, well, we have a halacha l'moshe b'Sinai that on the bayis, at least the bayis Rosh, has a shin on it. What is the significance that it doesn't have a lamed on it? It has a shin on it. So why is it dafka shin? So the answer is that shin is representative of one of the shemas of HaKadosh Baruch, the shem of Shakai. That's one of Hashem's names. So there's a halacha Moshe Messina. If you make yourself a pair of tefillin and forgot to put the shin on the bias, Sharosh apostle. Shayat is still kosher, but the Sharosh apostle bit of Torah. What's the source? Kach nemar halacha Moshe Messina. There is no written source for that. Then Gemara says, Kach nemar halacha Moshe Messina. So the shin, which is representative of Shem Hashem, is engraved in a sense, or pulled out, whatever it's made. It's a different question, but it's a part and parcel. It's an integral part of the bias itself. Comes the Gemara and says, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is on the bias, al zen ne'amar, that is included in the Gzeres HaKosov, l'man tia, Taras Hashem b'ficha. Where's the Taras Hashem exactly? It's the Hashem's name. Where's the Taras Hashem? So this is a throwback to the Ramban. The Ramban in his Akdamot, the Chumash writes that the whole words of the Torah, that's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ramban, why is it so terrible of a Sefer Torah is missing a letter? What's the big deal? I can read it anyway. I know exactly what the word means. What's the difference with it? Well, who cares? Says the Ramban, who cares? Says the words of the Torah are the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name has to be complete. So if you're missing a Vav in the middle of Parshas Vayishlach, so then there's something wrong with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. It's not in its incomplete form, and that's clearly not acceptable. So says the Ramban, Taras Hashem and Shem Hashem are synonymous. It's one and the same. So anytime you write either psukim, which are an extension of Shem Hashem, or you write Hashem's name itself, it always has to be done for halachic purposes. L'mantir Taras Hashem v'ficha. It must be done on kosher material. Therefore, the Gemara says that Gzeres HaKosov of L'mantir Taras Hashem v'ficha is equally true for the parashas as well as for the batim. It happens not to be true for the Ritzuos, the Gemara says. The Ritzuos are not called Taras Hashem. There's no Shem Hashem on it. There's no writing of anything on it. There's no Psukim. There's no nothing. And therefore, the Ritzuos don't have to be kosher, except for the fact there's another din that requires the Ritzuos to be kosher. So don't think you can make Chazer Ritzuos. It's not going to happen. But it's not the din of Taras Hashem. It's clear in the Gemara. There are two halachas. There's one din that Ritzuos have to be kosher for other technical reasons. But the din of the Pasuk and Parshas Bo, Taras Hashem, is only the cloth as well as the batim. So says the Ramban, what the Gemara just told us in one fell swoop is that that concept of Guf HaKadusha refers to Batim as well. Batim are as good Guf Kedusha as the Parashas are. What makes something Guf HaKadusha? When Hashem's name's on it. What makes something Guf HaKadusha? When the Torah's on it. The Parashas of Tefillin have Hashem's name and the Torah on it. And the bias, for all practical purposes, has Hashem's name / Torah on it. By having on the bias, the halach mashini of the shin, that is called the Mantiyat HaShem B'Ficha. So says the Ramban, if the Gemara in Gittin would have, if the sugya of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel making tefillin lishma would have been talking about ritzuos, that would have been a great distinction that the Baal HaMor said. That's Gufa Kedusha and this is Tashmish, everything would have been great. But the facts are wrong, says the Ramban. Says the Gemara is talking about, if you take a look at the last line, the last three lines in the Ramban, 11th of the Ramban Kamos. So now the Ramban told us that the Gemaras are talking about Batim, we're not talking about ritzuos. And listen what he has to say about the Baal HaMor. It's almost like his in one fell swoop, how the Baal HaMor changed the sugi from Batim to ritzuos. Says the Ramban, it's absolutely incorrect. The Hevi Yodeh, it's three lines from the bottom of Mar Makom number 11. Says the Mechama, says the Ramban, towards the end of the line. Hevi Yodeh, Shezeh Shehemid Baal HaMor Zah Machlekes from Shimon Gamliel for Rabban of ritzuos tefillin. That which the Baal HaMor explained the Machlekes that Tanoi was talking about ritzuos, not talking about the Batim. Eino nochon says it's not true. Not only is it eino nochon, listen to this, I'm afraid to even read it. V'cholanu lomabo shehu shibush gomor. It's not eino nochon, it's a mistake. Not a regular mistake, a complete mistake. Shibush gomor. That's a very strong lashon for one reason. It's like Shtetin Ramban, shibush gomor. Shaharei ritzuos lohusku b'cholotso b'raisa. It says nowhere in the braisa the words ritzuos appear. The whole braisa is talking about batim. The Ramban's right on that. The entire Brisa is talking about Batim, and nowhere do the Tanoi mention that we're switching teams, we're switching sides, we're talking about Ritzuos now. So the Ramban says the whole theory of the Baal HaMor just collapsed. So now, let's get back to where we're up to. Put things back into perspective. So again, we're really learning a Sukkah Sugya, and Sukkah Daftes. So we're really trying to figure out the Shabbat B'Sukkah. We got sidetracked at the Tzitzis, which in turn sidetracked us to Tefillin, either Batim or Ritzuos. Okay, we'll let the Baal HaMor Ritzuos stick in there for a minute. Then we get further sidetracked to Sefer Torah. And the question is, are we learning one sugya? Are we learning multiple sugyas? Are they all the same issue or not? So Rashi said that, we don't know what Rashi did with the Gemara about Sefer Torah, but Rashi says, yeah, they're all the same sugya, and therefore, nothing needs Lishma. Sukkah doesn't need Lishma, and the Tzitzis don't need Lishma, and the Tefillin, nothing really needs Lishma. Sefer Torah, I don't know, don't ask me, says Rashi, but everything else short of Sefer Torah does need Lishma. Rambam, the Rabbeinu Tam says the exact opposite. From the fact that the Sefer Torah does need Lishma, that indicates that everything else falls into place, also requires Lishma. And says Rabbeinu Tam, don't tell me arbitrary distinctions, Sefer Torah is different. So the Baal HaMor tried to create that, in a sense, that arbitrary distinction by saying, no, Sefer Torah is different, that's Gufa Kedusha. So Ramban says, that's right, but it's not going to help us, because Tefillin is also Gufa Kedusha, and the Gemara compares Tefillin to Tzitzis. So when all the dust settles, we still have two very, very different camps in the Rishonim as to what a take lemais is. Do we take the view of Rashi and the Baal HaMor, who are entertaining the possibility that not everything has to be Lishma so fast, the Tefillin doesn't have to be Lishma, maybe there are parts of Tefillin that don't have to be Lishma. Not everything is so quickly Lishma. But do we take the view of Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam took one look at the Gemara in Gittin and said, well, if the Gemara in Gittin says that, let's say if the Torah has to be written Lishma, that's a dead giveaway. If the Torah needs Lishma, then connect the dots. The Tefillin needs Lishma, the Batim, etc. If the Tefillin needs Lishma, then the Tzitzis needs Lishma. Everything needs Lishma. It's all the same. It's all or nothing. That's the view of Rabbeinu Tam. So Rashi's view is all or nothing, and therefore the answer is nothing. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's all or nothing. The answer is all. But the common denominator between all these we showed in both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam is that they're all for nothing. Tzitzis and Tefillin, it's all the same. What led them to believe it's all the same? The Gemara. The Gemara that we spoke about in Menachos on Friday, Gemara Daf Mem Beis, that says that the Gemara connects the dots between the tits and the tefillin. We take a quick look back at just Maamar Mokum number one for a second. On the second line of the seventh of the Maamar Mokumos, so the Gemara said, quoted Shmuel Shita Be'idin Tefil Lishma, and then the Gemara says, Ketanoi, Tzipan Zav, Shtalai Mor Be'im Tzimea, so etc. Officially doing Lishma. The Gemara connects the tzitzis and the tefillin story. So both Rashi and Benetam are right. It's all or nothing. We're just not sure which direction it is. Is it all or is it nothing? But now we're opening ourselves up for the possibility of questioning that very equation of all or nothing, and perhaps saying not all the Shmas are created equal. Maybe certain things do require the Shema and certain things don't. Just because Tzitzis does, maybe Tefillin does it. Just because Tefillin does, maybe Sefer Torah does it. We're not as convinced that all the same. We were not convinced. We just looked at the Gemara. The Gemara is convinced. So we have more work to do because the Ramban is going to question that very assumption. He's going to try to show you that assumption of the Gemara in Membeis itself is questioned in the Gemara. And maybe the answer to the question of all or nothing is neither. Maybe some things require the Shema and other things don't require the Shema, and maybe each mitzvah has to be judged on its own merits rather than taking this across-the-board approach of all or nothing. Hopefully that's Hashem tomorrow. So we'll continue with the Ramban's continuation of his new insight into this entire subject.